Juliet Dogcast Radio. If you like dogs, wherever you are in the world, we're the show for you.
Hello and welcome to episode 288 of Dogcast Radio, which is all about dogs detecting epilepsy. Well, it's about dogs detecting epilepsy and using technology to detect the dogs detecting the epilepsy. Look, Dr. Shelley Brady explains it a lot better than I do. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Great, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. And over the magic of the internet, you're in Dublin this morning. What's it like in Dublin?
Well, actually, I'm in Sligo, the other side, West Coast. Yeah,
right, yeah.
And it's quite grey after we 3 full weeks of beautiful weather. It's a little bit grey and drizzly today, but the farmers are happy.
same here. I'm looking at, absolutely grey. It's a bank holiday. That's what does it. Bank holiday. And the weather goes, oh, quick, cloudy.
yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, we will rise above the weather and we will talk about epilepsy. I better tell people who you are. First, you're Dr. Shelley Brady. I've said your name. You're a postdoctoral researcher at the Insight Research Ireland Centre for Data and... I can't see that say this word.
Data Analytics.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's funny what words trip me up. At Dublin City University. And we're going to talk about epilepsy. So, it's going to be really, really interesting and I can't wait to hear all about it. But before we start, just what is epilepsy and what can happen to someone during an epileptic seizure?
Okay, so epilepsy it's a neurological condition and it's characterized by a person experiencing repeated seizures. So the way our brains work is by sending tiny electrical signals between nerve cells, and this controls everything we do, like moving, thinking, feeling, even breathing. And these signals are normally well organized and balanced, but during an epileptic seizure, something interrupts this system. So there's a sudden surge or a burst of abnormal electrical activity in the brain. So it's almost like there's too many signals firing at once. And the specific symptoms associated with this activity depends on where the seizure is originating in the brain. And the type of seizure that most people will think of when they think of epilepsy is a tonic-clonic seizure. So during these seizures, there's a loss of consciousness. The body will stiffen, limbs will move and jerk in convulsive movements. And usually these seizures would last from anything from a few seconds to a few minutes. And afterwards, the brain does settle down and things go back to normal. But the person, of course, is going to feel very tired and maybe confused for a while. Yeah. So I suppose, as you can imagine, for people with uncontrolled epilepsy, so epilepsy that is resistant to and cannot be managed by medication, the fact that seizures can be so sudden and unpredictable, it just causes huge disruption to everyday life. It has a huge impact on the quality of life and the safety of that individual. And I think what has really struck me since working on this research project are the statistics when it comes to epilepsy. Yeah. So I think it affects a lot more people than we realize, perhaps. Well, for me in particular, I know that when I was looking at these stats, it really did impact me. There's 70 million people worldwide. So in Ireland, about 45,000 people. In the UK, 630,000 people. So that's about one in every 100 people. And it's estimated that about 80 people are diagnosed with epilepsy every day. So there's huge numbers.
Yes, yeah, it's a big problem. And I was thinking while you were saying that, I mean, I have migraines, which is, I always think of like a storm in the brain, but I get some warning with that. And, you know, I start to feel a bit odd or my hand will go numb or something. And so if I'm driving or whatever, I have time to think, hang on, better pull up, better, you know, or whatever I'm doing, okay, better take something and sit down in a darkened room and all that. But if it came on suddenly, and it's so severe, it's such a debilitating disease. It must be really, really unsettling and take that certainty away from you. So
absolutely,
yeah, yeah. So having said that, dogs can. We're coming to the crux of it now. So dogs can detect seizures, can't they, before they happen? Which is amazing.
Yeah, and I suppose there's that growing body of research that demonstrates that trained seizure alert dogs can successfully detect when a seizure is imminent. So this allows patients, of course, to take those preventative measures and keep themselves safe. But I think it's important to note that not all seizure dogs are alert dogs. And in fact, there are different types of seizure dogs depending on the skill set they have or they acquire through training. So seizure alert dogs, which are the dogs that we're interested in our research, they assist humans before a seizure occurs. But there's also seizure response dogs and seizure assist dogs. And their role is to help during and after a seizure. So, for example, seizure assist dogs can be trained to stay close to the human for the duration of the seizure, maybe fetch medications or a telephone or a caregiver, whereas seizure assist dogs are trained to assist the human, but they may not alert. Whereas the seizure alerting dogs are specifically trained to alert their owners before a seizure starts.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, obviously we're in awe of them because we don't know how they do it, and it's just such an amazing thing and such a reassurance. I just can't imagine knowing you've got this little person, well, dog, but little person with you that will tell, you know, say, excuse me, you better sit down, or you better, and the peace of mind. I remember interviewing someone who had epilepsy, and with her dog, her assistant's dog, she said, I've woken up sometimes in the street and my purse is gone and things like this. But now this dog, and it was a Labrador, and she said, he stands over me, nobody touches me. And I actually cried, because it's just, what a change to that woman's life. Wow. I mean, they're
absolutely
amazing.
Absolutely. They are amazing.
Yeah. Just dogs never cease to amaze me. So you and your colleagues are working on a project about these detection epilepsy dogs. So tell me about that project.
Sure, I'd love to. And I suppose, as a dog lover and owner, and having always had an interest in animal behaviour, when the opportunity came to work on this project, I just jumped at the chance. So it's coming, it's a Research Ireland funded programme, and it's coming out of the Insight Centre in DCU in Ireland, so Dublin City University. And we've called it PawSense, which stands for Paws Assisting with Sensors for Epilepsy Needs and Safety. So it's quite a mouthful. And what we aim to do is harness the scent detection capabilities of dogs to enhance the safety and quality of life for those living with epilepsy. So we have a fantastic team. The principal investigator is Professor Alan Smeaton, and he was also the person who thought up the idea of this project. And a colleague, Professor Thomas Ward, is also another principal investigator. And then we have Halen Song, who is our fantastically talented researcher. And we find ourselves very fortunate to have great partners in Epilepsy Ireland and Irish Dogs for the Disabled in Beaumont Hospital. So we're all working together with this research project.
What are you actually doing? Because it's like, as you say, taking the dog's ability to recognise, and then, but have it with technology as well. Yeah. So what does it actually translate to in practice?
Yeah, so I suppose, as we touched on earlier, for many people with epilepsy, it's that unpredictability of the seizure, which is the most debilitating characteristic, and it really negatively impacts on quality of life. So when we're looking at being unaware of when a seizure might occur, that's going to increase anxiety, of course. And then increased anxiety has also been shown to increase seizure frequency. So it makes sense that if we're able to predict the onset of these seizures, not only could we lower these anxieties, but also allow for patients to implement preventative measures and limit the impact of these seizures. And there is a reason I'm saying all of this, I promise. Amongst the ways of predicting seizures, there's been growing interest in seizure alert dogs. So, as you're fully aware, dogs have long held a very special place in society. So they're loyal companions, they're trusted protectors of our homes and our families and even livestock. And it's that protective instinct. And even when you were talking about the lady that you were speaking about, whose dog is standing over her when she has a seizure, it's that protective instinct that is one of the earliest reasons humans have formed bonds with dogs, right? Isn't it? So, and like, there's lots of varieties of species that have been shown to be therapeutic for humans, but domestic dogs have been used considerably more than other species. And I suppose it's that deep-rooted relationship between humans and dogs that's helped to inspire this research. So we're looking at how a dog's natural instincts can be combined with technology to help people with epilepsy. So the ultimate objective is to demonstrate the reliability and effectiveness of scent-trained dogs as seizure alert partners. But how do we get them to do this? Well, great. Here comes the science bit. Everyone releases what's known as volatile organic compounds. So that's through our breath, sweat, skin, and ultimately their unique scents that each of us have. And that varies from person to person, which is great when a dog is doing some scent detection work. So what we aim to do is train the dog to recognize the unique smell associated with the seizure. And when they smell that smell, we'll teach them to respond in a specific way. So for example, when they detect the pre-seizure scent, they may be trained to spin in a circle or nudge the individual or paw at them. And we're lucky enough again to have, as I said, Irish Dogs for the Disabled. They're central to this effort. They're experts in training assistance dogs. But the technology piece that we're incorporating, that's where Halen Song comes in, who's working on this side of the project. So each dog will wear a special collar equipped with a sensor. And that sensor tracks movement. So the dog's alerting behavior, the spinning or the nudging or the pawing, will be detected by that sensor that's worn on their collar. And that will stream movement data in real time to the cloud. Then an algorithm will pick this up and send a warning via a mobile phone app to the person, their family or a caregiver, and that will inform them of the imminent seizure, as well as the location of the individual. So this means the person with epilepsy will get that early warning before the seizure starts, and it will also give them time to prepare, stay safe, as well as allowing the caregiver to respond in
that
a timely manner.
Fantastic, because it's one thing, you know, sitting on your sofa at home, or and your dog says, "Oh, you're going to have a seizure." Well, not says, you know what I mean. The dog alerts you to the fact that a seizure is imminent. Mm. I do refer to dogs as talking. I do know they don't actually speak in words. But anyway, the dog communicates to you that you're going to have a seizure, and you maybe lie down or sit on the floor or whatever, or take the medication, whatever it is. But what if you are out on a walk in the city centre, you know, you've popped somewhere out from work or whatever, and you haven't actually said to somebody, "This is where I'm going to be." That's such an amazing reassurance that with the dog and the technology, people can know where you are and what's going on, and that you're okay and get there to you as well. That's amazing. Yeah. Wow.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's a brilliant project. That's just going to change so many, change and improve so many lives, isn't it?
Absolutely. As with all research, it may throw up more questions and give us answers, but that's okay. I think the idea of it, it's coming from a fantastic place. The aim of it is to improve the quality of life of people with epilepsy. And it's very unique in terms of that technology piece as well.
Amazing. So to go back, concentrate on the dogs for a while, do we know how they detect epilepsy? Is it the sort of, there's a smell to it, do we think?
Yeah, so again, looking at past research, that has led to this hypothesis that the detection of seizures by dog is at least partly through a change in chemicals, that unique smell that we spoke about earlier. And the things that dogs can do with their noses and smells, it's absolutely extraordinary. So they can tell the direction a person has gone by sniffing the footsteps that they've left behind. They've been trained to detect drugs, electronics, the droppings of predators. And I recently listened to Ed Yong speak, and he showed some fascinating videos of dogs wearing goggles and snorkels detecting the scent of whales. So it's just unbelievable what their noses can be attuned to. And I suppose that's because they have so many more scent receptors on their noses, and they can layer scents as well. So the way humans might hear instruments in an orchestra, they're able to layer those smells. So it allows them to pick up specific odors, even in crowded or noisy or chaotic environments. So if you look at your dog's nose, and if you pay attention to the shape of its nostrils, there's two holes, like in humans, but then they curve off to the side like little apostrophes. And it's those side slits that are really special. So if you or I were to bend down and sniff along the ground, every time we exhale, we push the odors onto the ground away from us. But when a dog exhales, it's those side slits that create like a little whirlpool effect, and it wafts the odors into its nose on a continuous basis. So a dog sniffing, whether they're inhaling or exhaling, they're continuously getting this stream of smell into their nose, and they can also keep sniffing for prolonged durations of time. So it's absolutely amazing.
I didn't know that. That's amazing. I mean, now you've said that. I can picture the dog's nose, but wow, yeah.
The beautiful shape of the nose. Yeah, yeah. And actually, we did visit medical detection dogs in the UK, and we were actually able to see this discrimination behaviour in practice and watch dogs alerting to Parkinson's samples correctly, which was absolutely fascinating to watch as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Oh, they're a great charity, aren't they? Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah,
brilliant.
They are.
Yeah, and that's great. And to network like that and to work together and to support each other and to, as you say, build on what's already been researched and established as good practice, that is best practice, isn't it? That's the way we really make progress.
It's key. It's that community of practice and learning from one another. It's been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Brilliant. Excellent. So do we think, and there may not be an answer to this, but do we think it's an innate ability that sort of all or many dogs have? Or is the detection of the, you know, sniffing at the epilepsy, is it something that can be trained?
So, as we said, dogs have an exceptional sniffing ability, far exceeding humans. So I suppose dogs' ability to smell, of course, is innate. But the question is the ability to alert to a seizure innate? And there was research done in Queens under Dr. Neil Powell. And what he observed was he looked at untrained pet dogs and he saw that they did exhibit behavioural changes when they were exposed to these seizure-associated odours. So these are dogs with no prior training. So it suggests, and again, it's suggesting that even without formal training, dogs can detect these chemical changes occurring before a seizure. And I suppose, again, if we're looking at the different types of breeds and we look at breed profiling, we know, for example, that bloodhounds and beagles have astounding capacity for scent discrimination. But then labs are consistent in terms of reliability to perform tasks on cue and consistently, and they're calm and they're confident, which is what you really want for someone who has a seizure alert dog. And then, of course, you've German Shepherds, who are intelligent and they've really strong work ethics, and they're very much used in military and police scent detection work. So we've got all these breeds that we know are really good at specific tasks and doing specific things. But I suppose, again, ethically, it is important to note that although breed profiling is helping increase success rates, and, you know, we know what dogs we can train quite easily in this area, it's probably important not to exclude capable dogs from other breeds as well, because it's kind of individual dog traits, not just breeds, that can play a significant role in success as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I do think sometimes small dogs are underestimated. I was guilty of this, you know, when we first had our Bichon Frise. She was the size of a guinea pig. And I just looked at this little tiny dog and thought, how am I ever going to teach you anything? You know, my daughter had chosen the breed. And I thought, oh my goodness, how on earth are we going to teach this tiny little creature anything? And she, you know, she just picked it all up and she was bright as a button. And she really taught me to value and respect, I mean, all dogs, but small dogs. Just because they're smaller, they've still got just as much brain and capability. And when I had my Papillon recently, I tried scent trailing with her, and she just picked it up. She just like, right, okay, I sniff this, yes, I go and find the person, okay, fine. And she just, and you, because you can't see what's going on, you know, as a human, we're visual, aren't we? And I couldn't see what was going on. I was going, oh, she's never doing this. And she just led me straight to the person. I was like, wow, okay.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's a similar situation in our house where we've always had big dogs.
Yeah.
And then my husband brought home a Yorkshire Terrier about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I completely underestimated his abilities. He's so clever. He's able to do everything all the big dogs are able to do. Yeah, it's an eye opener, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because, and I think dogs themselves don't understand, but, you know, a smaller dog can, again, I'm going to use a loaded word, but intimidate. And what I mean there is, intimidate a larger dog, I was going to say. What I mean there is, I don't mean sort of, you know, fisticuffs or the canine equivalent of fisticuffs, but we had two Labradors and this Bichon Frise. And the Bichon Frise would eat slowly and eat. And I used to keep them in separate rooms. And I left the door unlatched one day and the Labradors pushed the door open and raced in like, wow, we're going to have her food. And she just put her head down and sort of forward, stretched her neck forward and looked at them. And they were like, whoa. And they just sat down and these two Labradors had strings of drool hanging from their mouths. But they just looked at her and they wouldn't dare. And, oh, she was brilliant, Star Wars.
The boss.
And but listen to this for finesse. She took a piece of food and got on the sofa and ate it on the sofa. And if the Labradors, like, looked at her dish, she'd look at them and sort of be like, I did not say you can do anything. I didn't say you can move. And then she'd get down and get another piece of food and get on the sofa. And then when she'd had her fill, because she never emptied the bowl, and she would just change her body language and sashay out. And the Labradors dashed forward and got the food. But it was such a...
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, yeah. They don't see. It's all. I think it's attitude. It's not size, is it, with dogs?
Absolutely. It's a different way of communicating, as you say. It's talking without words.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they knew exactly what was being said. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. Oh, I'm talking about pet dogs, obviously. But the dogs in the project, they are assistance dogs, or they're already trained assistants?
No. So what they're... Well, they will be.
Yes,
so they will be trained seizure alert dogs. They, I suppose, just as... It's important to note as well that just as service dogs or these alert dogs will have to meet certain criteria to be trained, so will the person selected to receive the dog.
Hmm.
So it's so important for the person who is thinking about getting a seizure dog to understand what a significant commitment it is, and that they will be responsible for the care and the welfare of the dog in this partnership. And I suppose that's something that can't be stressed enough. I think when you're looking at these partnerships, as much as the dog is doing for the individual has to do, you know, it's a reciprocal relationship between both human and dog. And that's really important. They are going to be trained dogs, again, by the Irish Dogs for the Disabled. We were lucky enough to also visit Support Dogs UK, who you're probably well aware of. And they have a really successful seizure alert program. And they are able to train dogs to provide a reliable warning up to 1 hour in advance of a seizure occurring. And they were so welcoming and generous with their time and knowledge. And I think the highlight of that visit for us as a team was meeting some of the human dog partnerships and hearing firsthand the life-changing impact the dogs have on the lives of those individuals. So, you know, people are literally going from not wanting to leave the house to being able to go to football matches at home and away. So it's just unbelievable the impact these dogs have on the lives of these individuals.
It's amazing. I mean, things that most of us take for granted, you know, I would imagine some people with epilepsy are just can't hope to do. And then yet the dog enables them back to, you know, the world is their oyster. Amazing. Yeah, I remember interviewing a blind person, and she said, when I have my dog, I don't feel disabled.
There you go.
Yeah, and she could just stride out in the world. And what a basic human right, just to be able to walk down the road.
Absolutely.
And the dog gave it back to her. It was amazing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is. It's very, very touching. So, as ever, I've got one eye on the clock, but the technology side of it, I'd love to explore. I'm fascinated with AI. So can you tell me a little bit about the actual technology side of it?
Yeah, so basically the dog will be wearing this sensor, and this sensor has been programmed to recognise the behaviour of the dog, and it's done through machine learning, basically. Halen Song, as I said, he's the man who is working on that side of things quite intensively. And this collar is attached to a mobile phone, an app on a mobile phone. And once the dog engages in that alert behavior, it will send an alert to the mobile phone of the individual, as well as the mobile phone of the caregiver or the family member or whoever is selected to be alerted on behalf of that individual.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, can you tell me how it's going? Is it going well so far?
Oh yeah, it's a great project. So we're only in the first few months of it, really. So we've been working closely with our partners, getting started. And at the moment, we have gathered data from wearables on assistance dogs just to train the wearable itself, as we are talking about, to recognize that spinning behavior or whatever other signaling motions are going to be used for the alert sensor on the collar. We've been able to visit, as I said, medical detection dogs and Support Dogs UK and kind of carefully design some protocols around the training piece. And we've been able to start thinking about the design of that app and what the interface will look like for both the person with epilepsy and the person who will be receiving the alerts on the other end. So yeah, we're very much in, I suppose, a discovery side of it, but very much ready to get going.
Yeah, excellent, brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Just one more quick question. So is the long-term goal to sort of have that partnership, the dogs and the technology, and they work together, they, you know, that integrates, mm-hmm. rather than, it's not to replace the dog, is it? Or tell me, actually, I'll rephrase that question.
Yeah.
Is it to replace the dog?
Well, I suppose, look, there is huge interest within the epilepsy community on how technology can be used to help warn of an impending seizure. Of course there is. And I suppose success of this project, what that would provide would be proof of concept. So it could pave the way for a new standard of care and assistance, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I suppose it's that application of sensor technology in conjunction with the dog alerts, which opens possibilities for maybe even broader applications across different medical conditions and contexts.
Yeah.
But I suppose while the development of seizure alert devices is ongoing and holds really great promise, it's equally important to go back to what we considered earlier and that anecdotal and personal impact of seizure alert dogs and what that can have, how that affects individuals. Because beyond the functional role that these dogs have, which is alerting to the seizure, they can also contribute to a sense of security and emotional support, which, as we said, may reduce seizure frequency. Perhaps a wearable could also do this. And, you know, you don't need a dog to do that. But also you could consider the physical benefits that research indicates pet owners have. Maybe lower blood pressure and increased because they have increased physical activity, which makes sense because as a dog owner, you're probably going to engage in a bit more exercise than you would if you didn't own a dog, the same person, which would contribute to cardiovascular health. So I suppose for some people, they may not want to have a dog, and that's where the wearable is perfect as well. Yeah. So look, it's not, I don't think it's a matter of trying to get rid of the dog and just having wearables or anything like that. I think it's making sure that there's something there for everybody that suits everybody, again, individualised.
Yeah, yeah. As you were saying that, I was thinking it gives people choice again, doesn't it? It gives them...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Again, we're running out of time. Is there anything else that you would like to say we haven't had a chance yet?
I suppose this research is looking at science, emotions, trust, and the potential of seizure alert dogs, which isn't just about, it is about detecting seizures, but it's also about providing individuals with a sense of control and connection and dignity. And it's easy for us to talk about protocols and sensors and algorithms and all of those things. But ultimately, at the heart of this is that relationship between a person and a dog that can quite literally transform someone's life. So it could be the difference between isolation and independence. And I think we're learning from the science, but we're also learning from the stories, which is fantastic. And for us, that's what makes this work so meaningful.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you for saying that, because that is important. That's, at the end of the day, this is people's lives and people's quality of life. And yeah, yeah, I love science and I love research, but the stories are important too, aren't they? That's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The humans at the heart of it are what's important.
Yeah.
And the dogs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Where can people find out more online?
So you can go to LinkedIn, Insight Research Ireland Centre for Data Analytics. I know, again, that's a mouthful, but they will be posting all of our updates.
Smashing. Yeah, great. Yeah. And we'll put all the links that you give us on the
Podcast Radio
site, so people can go there and come and find out more. And I really recommend they do, because it's been absolutely fascinating. And I love this project. It's brilliant. And the best of luck with it.
Well, thank you, Julie. It's been great talking to you.
I love the approach of having the people and dogs at the centre and working out from that, with the aim of making them all as happy and healthy as possible. Huge thanks to Shelley for taking the time to talk to me. You can find all the links she mentioned at dogcastradio.com and check our social media too. Love it. I'll be absolutely honest with you, the UK is going through a heatwave at the moment. A heatwave by our standards anyway. And to record this, I've had to switch off all the aircon and fans, and I can't stand it anymore. And I don't think the dogs can either. So until next time, look after yourselves and your dogs. Thanks for listening to Dogcast Radio, available from www.dogcastradio.com. That's dogcastradio.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us, and wherever you are in the world, we'd love to hear from you. You can do so in a variety of ways. You can contact us on Skype with the ident Dogcast Radio. That's all one word, Dogcast Radio. By email, you can contact me on julie@dogcastradio.com. When contacting us by email, if you have the facilities, please record your questions or comments and send them to us as an audio file. That way we can include them directly in our programme. We can accept most formats, for example, WAV, MP3. All these methods of contacting us can be found on our website, which is www.dogcastradio.com. What kind of dog can answer almost any question? A Labragoogle. Oh my goodness, get that fan back on. Oh, that's better.